crawling behind the gate. The gate swings into the stretch, and here they come. They're horsing around.
Hey, folks, this is Kelly Bell. Today, I'm really excited on Horsing Around. I am here with the voice himself, Roger Houston. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, Kelly. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Oh, always fun to talk to you. Now, for anybody out there who doesn't know who Roger Houston is, you really need to understand this fella. He is a legend at the Little Brown Jug and all through the harness racing industry. Roger, can you give us just a little background on how you became the voice of the Little Brown Jug?
First of all, I'm just an old country boy from Xenia, Ohio. As far as being a celebrity or not, I don't know. That's for other people to decide. But I was announcing county fair races in Ohio, started in 1960. And everything in my entire life developed over a 2 week, maybe 3 week period in 1967, where it changed everything. Got a phone call one day from Dick Wilson down at Pompano Park. He was the general manager, and Pompano was known as the winter capital of harness racing. And he wanted to know where all I was going to be county fair wise in Ohio the end of June, end of July, 1st of August. So I give him all the dates. And I was announcing at the Greene County Fair in Xenia. I think it was a Wednesday night. And I saw these two gentlemen walk across the racetrack in suits, white shirts, and ties. And I thought, uh-oh, they're showing up. And they showed up about a minute and a half before the horses went to the gate. And I talked to Dick Wilson and Mr. Van Buren, who was the controller for Castleton Industries. And they said, well, we will listen to you call a race and we'll get back to you. Well, that race happened to be a trot, a field of 12, non-winners of $200 lifetime, also eligible two-year-olds, non-winners. 11 of the 12 horses made breaks.
11?
The winner was in, I think, 217 and 2. As you can imagine, it was a thrilling. And I looked across in the grandstand, and they were gone.
Aww.
I said, oh, why couldn't they show up tomorrow night when the first race was the three-year-old colt pace?
Yeah.
But then this was the day of telegrams, believe it or not. And I got a telegram that Saturday and offered me the job at Pompano if I wanted it. And definitely I took it and moved to Florida later that year. But after that took place, with the Pompano also went the Red Mile in Lexington, Kentucky. Failed to mention that, the spring meet and to work the fall meet as well.
Uh-huh.
So about 2 weeks later, they're having the Adios at the Meadows. And I wasn't at the Meadows at that time. And Charlie Hinkle, who also lived in Xenia, was a Grand Circuit announcer and big time in harness racing, getting races on CBS and NBC radio and such as that. He told Hank Thompson, who ran the Little Brown Jug, that he couldn't be at Delaware in September because he was going to take the job as the play-by-play announcer for the new ABA basketball team in Los Angeles, California. And he was going to have, wouldn't be there for the jug. And this really hit Hank. He didn't know what to do.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Stan Bergstein was there that day at the Meadows And he says, well, I can do Jug Day, but I can't do the first 3 days because of the Jewish holiday. But I would be able to do Thursday. Corwin Nixon, who was head of the United States Trotting Association, spoke up and says, well, Hank, why don't you get a hold of that young kid in Xenia, Ohio? I'm sure he could probably do the first 3 days. So when Hank got home that night back in Delaware, about 10 o'clock, and this was the day where you'd actually dial the operator, whether you're young or not.
Yeah.
I don't think you're that old. But anyway, he called the operator and says, how many Houstons do you have living in Xenia? And she said, 7. Let's start alphabetically. Who's the first one? She said, that would be Cecil. Okay, call Cecil. That Cecil happened to be my dad.
Oh,
Hank called Cecil and he said, oh, you're trying to get hold of my son. Give me your phone number. So about 10:15 that night, I was already in bed because I had to be at the radio station next morning at 5 a.m. to go on the air. Hank called me and he said, I doubt that you know me, but my name's Hank Thompson. I literally fell out of bed because
I bet you did.
I've been going to Delaware to watch the Jug since 1958 when I was a junior in high school. And he told me the story and he says, we need somebody to do the first 3 days. And I'm sure Stan will let you call a few races on Jug Day as well.
Oh, how exciting.
So I said, yeah, I'd be happy to do it. Well, This was the period of my first marriage, and after I hung up the phone, sure enough, first words out of my wife's mouth was, how much are they paying you? And I says, I don't know. We didn't even discuss money.
That's right. It doesn't matter. It's the job.
It didn't matter.
And I announced, for our listeners out there, if there's someone out there listening and you don't understand what the Jug is, it is part of the Triple Crown of harness racing right here in Delaware, Ohio, where you get the finest horses, the best drivers, the greatest competition, and the most famous announcer in harness racing, Roger Houston. It's an event that should not be missed every September. Folks, put it on your calendar. If you've never been to the Little Brown Jug, you haven't lived.
The third Thursday after Labor Day.
There you go.
So I got the job. And so all in that 3 week period, I got the Winter Capital of Harness Racing. I got the Red Mile in Lexington, Kentucky, and I got the Little Brown Jug. So everything from then on in my entire life went the other path. And I wasn't expecting any of it to take place, but it did.
Oh, and what a journey it's been. It's been such an honor for me over the past 10 years to get to know you, to know your history, to understand how you came up in the business and brought other people along, trained other people how to call races. And you have a very specific style in the way you call a race, in the way you use your voice that not everyone uses. Can you help us understand that aspect of your job?
I don't know if it has to do with the fact that I was working radio actually before I ever started announcing horse races, because I started doing PA for high school basketball and football at Xenia High School back in the 50s. And then I went to work at the radio station when I was still a senior in high school. And so in a way, I was a performer already before harness racing. And I guess it carried on for a lot of years. And people would hear me. They'd think my voice changed once I started announcing. Well, it did to a degree, just because of your inflection and you're more important what words you're saying and things like that. So I guess it did to some sort of change, but I truly loved doing play-by-play, football, basketball. I didn't like baseball, football and basketball I loved. And then I started doing harness racing, and it was perfect. And from there on, it just went right down the pike, and the career developed from then to what it is today.
Well, people say that Roger Houston could even make a turtle race exciting, and I believe
I've called a few turtle races.
Right, there you go. Okay, really? You need to take a quick break, get a word from our sponsors, and folks, don't miss this. Stay tuned. We are going to be back with Roger Houston right after these messages.
It's mud season. Are you looking for a fix in a muddy situation? Cashman's has you covered, offering innovative mud control solutions. We are also your number one source for the best deals on rubber mats for multi-use flooring, perfect for horse stalls, garages, and gyms. Cashman's Horse Equipment has been serving the equine community for over 40 years. Come and visit our location in Delaware, Ohio, and shop over 10 acres of equine farm and livestock supplies. Shop online anytime at cashmans.com.
Be sure to catch the new podcast, The Top of the Stretch, presented by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. The podcast keeps fans of racing in the Buckeye State up to date on various topics concerning the sport of harness racing. The news and views of top officials, owners, trainers, drivers, and breeders in Ohio. That's the all-new podcast, Top of the Stretch, on the Facebook page of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Be there!
Looking for that special gift for the horse lover in your life? Bow River Jewelry provides custom-made designs using state-of-the-art equipment, hand finishing, and quality stones to ensure your jewelry reflects that love of horses. Bow River Jewelry creates 14-karat gold rings, bracelets, and watches that uniquely exemplify the mutual love between horses and humans. Contact them at bowriverjewelry.com to see the variety of horse-inspired jewelry available, or call 888-860-7483 with custom inquiries.
Hey, folks, this is Kelly Bell. I am back. I am horsing around today with Roger Houston, the voice of the Little Brown Jug, and quite frankly, the voice of harness racing in so many aspects. We talked about you going to Pompano and working at the Meadows. Just last year, you moved back to Ohio and joined the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association as an ambassador. Tell us where you're at and what's going on with you now, Roger Houston.
Well, at the point in my career, I felt that it was time to start winding down a bit when they offered me the job as the brand ambassador of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. I decided to hang up the microphone on a day-to-day basis and do something else to wrap up my career. And I took the job as the ambassador for the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. And that, they says, well, what's the job going to entail? And I says, I'll do anything you want. And I meant that. And believe me, there's been a lot of things that I never dreamed that I'd be doing when I took this job. But principally this year, we're working on two major projects right now. We have what is called the Freshman Focus, which is a talk with a number of trainers in the state of Ohio about their two-year-olds in training. It's every Thursday night on the OHHA's Facebook page at 7 p.m. I think it's a 10-week series, and we're about 5 weeks into that program. And then also we're doing what is called a Matinee Madness. Now, they've already had a couple matinees at Salina and Greenville, and in the future, Washington Courthouse, Urbana, and Bucyrus on Sunday afternoons. And we go there and actually do a show videotaping the races and doing interviews with horsemen and fans and officials, whatever it may be. And then we do all an editing process on Monday. And then that Matinee Mandus is every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. on the OHHA Facebook page. So those are our two principal categories that we're doing right now. But we're getting ready for the Ohio Fair season. Last year, because of COVID, fans were not permitted in the grandstand and such. So we did, I think it was something like 65, 70 broadcasts of county fair races all over Ohio on Facebook Live. And we're going to do this again this year, but it is an expanded situation thanks to the board of directors of the Ohio Harness Horsemen Association, who allotted the funds. We will be broadcasting every single county fair race in the state of Ohio.
Yay!
That'll be something like 126 race programs. A lot of days, just one county fair, but there are days when there's two county fairs and we'll broadcast them both live. I think that one time there's four in one day, and we'll do those all four one day, includes the jug and that, plus spatial broadcast, Ohio Sire Steak Night, state fair racing at Scioto, the next generation around the July 4th weekend, Ohio Sire State finals and things like that, the fair finals, those will all be Saturday night live broadcast on Facebook as well. So it's going to be a busy schedule, but if you know me, it doesn't matter if it's 7 days a week, if it's 30 days a month. I love what I do, and it's going to be a pleasure working with Frank Frost and Susan Schroeder and everybody else here at the OHHA, taking harness racing to the fans.
Absolutely. And folks, I don't know about you, but after this pandemic, I am really excited to get out to my county fairs, not just the one in the county I live in, but traveling around to some of these fairs and getting to see some of this harness racing action. It's such a fun family way to spend a day outdoors with good old down-home community feel. You know, it's just such a slice of Americana. You can't spend a day at the track and the county fair without going home feeling good.
And you know, I've talked to a lot of the fairs, their fair board members and speed superintendents and such, and it seems like almost all of the county fairs are planning to go back to a more normal type fair that we've had in years past, quite a bit different from what we had last year. Of course, those things could always change depending on this COVID situation. But right now, we're going forward. It looks like it's going to be a lot better this year. And the fairs are planning to have normal fairs this year. And I think that's good news for everybody.
I'm super excited about that. I'm fully vaccinated and ready to get out there. I cannot wait. And, you know, the next generation, I want to pump that a little bit, too, because am I correct that the couple of the horses that did really, really well in Next Generation, and these are basically babies that are kind of debuting and we're seeing them come up. Two of those horses ended up being, you know, finalists in Horse of the Year. I mean, really had amazing seasons. And so you're going to see real champions during this Next Generation set of races on the 4th of July at Scioto Downs, right?
You know, it's, I think, July 2nd and 3rd, Friday and Saturday, they'll have four races part of the Next Generation for two-year-old filly trotters, colt and gelding trotters, two-year-old filly pacers, and colt and gelding pacers as well. Those are on the Friday and Saturday at Scioto Downs, July the 2nd and 3rd. Charlie May last year went on to be the top three-year-old pacer in the state of Ohio, and he got his very first start and win right there at Scioto in the Next Generation last year. So you just, it's early in the season. You don't know what you're going to see, but it could be the future champions of the entire year.
Absolutely. So with that, we are going to take a break, get a word from our sponsors, and folks, we will be back with Roger Houston after this.
Looking for your next quality standard bred racehorse? Look no further than Sugar Valley Farm in Delaware, Ohio. Sugar Valley Farm offers stud services anywhere in the world, providing the best stallions available at any price point. With a stallion roster full of names like Well Said, Lather Up, Mr. Wiggles, and Down by the Seaside, winning must be in the water. For more info, call 1-740-363-5618. That's 1-740-363-5618 for Sugar Valley Farm.
With more than 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is over $1.4 billion. Much of that value comes from standardbred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing. The mission of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standardbred industry in Ohio and beyond. To learn more about the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association, go to OHHA.com.
Hey folks, I'm back. This is Kelly Bell. I am here with the voice, Roger Houston, the ambassador for the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association and the voice of the Little Brown Jug, the biggest harness racing fan in the world, quite frankly. Roger, you got me into harness racing. You got me excited about it as I was coming up. Now you and I both have fractional ownership in some Ohio bred horses. Have you been following our Ohio group, and can you tell me what you've seen so far?
Well, I got into fractional ownership with Anthony McDonald, and it's called the Ohio Package. We have six Ohio-bred two-year-olds and three older horses that are racing or will be racing this season. Right now, I've got two horses racing. They're older horses, and then hopefully the two-year-olds will develop and we'll see them as well. There's a lot of people. I think Anthony has something like 900 owners all over the United States and in, I think, 13 different countries.
He's got more people than he does horses.
Yeah. And so it's a chance. You only own a small percentage, but believe me, the thrill is there. I mean, no matter what, the thrill, no matter how much of this horse you own, whether it's the nose or the rear end, you get the same big thrill. There's other fractional ownership groups in the state of Ohio. We did our freshman focus. Ron Steck, he has a fractional ownership right there in Delaware, Ohio. Yesterday, we were at Greenville, and Horseplay Racing Stable is a fractional ownership. Jessica Schroeder is in charge of that. And her horse won at Greenville. She Means Business, two-year-old filly by Pet Rock in 208, final half a minute, final quarter, 29-1. So you can imagine how those fractional owners feel about that horse as well. A big thrill, and that's a super mile for a two-year-old this time of the season. So it's a good way to go and an easy way to go.
It is so exciting. You know, that I first got into fractional ownership when I was working the Little Brown Jug. I heard Anthony put on a presentation about it. And I had a little bit of cash in my pocket that I was going to use at the betting windows. And I thought, you know what? Instead of betting on some horses today, I'm just going to buy into a horse. And for $200, I became a fractional owner of a racehorse. I never would have imagined that would be something that I could say about myself, that I'm a racehorse owner. I mean, it sounds so prestigious, but I have to tell you, it was so fun. I got an 8x10 photo that I put up on the wall of my horse. I would watch the drone videos on YouTube every week. I went out to the track with my friends and families and was like, that's my horse, even though I only owned, you know, two hairs on its tail. But it was so exciting. And what a fun way to spend a day with my friends and family. I think it's one of the most exciting hobbies I've ever been a part of. And I'm really glad that you led me into it. It's your fault. Well,
I hadn't owned a horse since my days in high school when I had a brood mare and foals, and then sold them all and paid my way into Wilmington College. So for me to get involved with fractional ownership, what was it? Almost 60 years later.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully you and I will meet each other out at the track and be able to cheer on one of our horses that we co-own together. And for me, that will be a very
exciting. You can cheer for your horse and I'll cheer for my horse if they're in the same race.
But we both are part of that same Ohio group. So we both have shares in the same horses.
Oh, I didn't realize you were in the Ohio fractional bunch.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we got that going on. Hey, I'll tell you what, I think we're going to wrap this up, but Roger Houston, it is always an honor to talk to you, and hopefully we can get you back on the show multiple times over the summer as we lead up to the Little Brown Jug, and you can keep us up to date on all the harness racing action in Ohio.
And don't forget, Horsing Around, the first Saturday each month, we'll have a report on Ohio racing.
All right. Take us out, Raj.
Be there!